Securities offered through Peak Brokerage Services, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management or Blackridge Asset Management. Financial Guys, Independent Solutions, and Blackridge Asset Management are not an affiliate of Peak Brokerage Services, Inc.
It will go bankrupt, though, folks. It will. There will be a time where we will be talking about New York State defaulting on their bonds and you know how that's going to all play out. And you'll have people like Warren Buffett who will come in and say, don't worry, I'll give you money, but it's going to be at 10% or 12%, a lot like they did with GM. I'll be your savior. But here's what's going to happen. You're going to have to cut the size of government radically, radically. So I'm looking forward to it. We'll see.
Welcome back to the Financial Guys Podcast. Thanks again for downloading and listening. We appreciate it. Give us a thumbs up and a like and share this with your friends. It helps us a ton. Don't forget about the radio show as well. I'll be live this weekend, 1-3 on the Financial Guys Media Network, WHAM, WBEN, and streaming live on iHeartRadio as well. Got a lot to talk about today. Glenn Wiggle, Mike Lomas, of course. I don't know if you start with the Tim Stott stuff or the bad news.
Let's start with this one if you don't mind, okay? Yeah. Hochul confident a deal for criminal record sealing can be reached.
Yeah.
So, you know, she almost lost in a blue state based on crime, right?
My bad.
No, sorry, that's me. And almost lost. I mean, that was the number one reason why she, almost lost, right? We'll just say if they didn't cheat, she probably would have lost, right? So you'd think they would start to go the other way. But no, they're going even more radical, right? So with less than a week to go before state lawmakers adjourn, likely for the rest of the year, why not? You deserve the rest of the year off.
Rest of the year. What is it? It's June.
Well, I'm okay with that,
What's
Glenn.
The day today?
I'm okay
what
with
is
that.
This?
Get them the hell
right,
out.
Right, just go
the,
home. Get, just go
yes,
home. Just go
because
home.
The more they're there, the more they mess things up, right? Kathy Hochul.
What is it?
Yeah.
The 6th of June? What's the date today? What is
yeah,
it? Yeah,
7th of June. 7th.
7th of June, yeah. And they're going home for the year. And just so everyone's aware that maybe is out of New York State, they get paid over $100,000 a year. They're the highest paid legislators in the country by far.
Yeah, they're done. And this is not like December 24th, like they're going home on Christmas Eve and spending the rest of the year.
No, a little early. Knock off the 15th of December. Yeah. Hell, take all December off. Go home November 30th. No. It's June 7th or whatever it is today. Yeah. What did you say, 6th, 7th?
That's right.
Ridiculous.
So let's see here. The proposal known as the Clean Slate Act by its supporters has come
this
close to passing in prior legislative sessions and has been a long-sought goal for supporters of changing New York's criminal justice system. Okay, so basically what it does here is support of the sealing criminal or
just when you think you couldn't make it any worse.
Right, lawmakers have proposed sealing criminal records after 3 years for misdemeanors and after 7 years for felonies, not counting time in prison where probation and parole is completed and no charges are pending. So let me get this straight. So you and I are in the financial industry, Glenn. So 7 years from now, there's a potential that somebody has stolen money today. And then 7 or 8 years from now comes in and wants to apply for a job at our firm. And we're not allowed to see that information that they stole money 8 years ago. So what happens when they steal money from a financial firm? Now, the financial firm is the one responsible for hiring Mary Beth or Joe Schmo, who has stolen money 8 years ago and has a track record of doing that and is right back in the system. I mean, these people are so disgustingly demented, it's not even funny. I mean, the whole purpose of having our systems and our records in place is that we can keep a track record of these scumbags. And what you're supposed to do is if a scumbag is a scumbag is a scumbag, eventually you keep them in jail and don't let them out. These people you're mentally brain dead. They're just brain dead.
Well, let's take our industry, for example. Our industry, you have to answer questions on a U-4. We have a record you have to file to get into the industry, right? You have to disclose certain misdemeanors if they're involving any sort of financial crimes, including theft and things like that, right? You also have to, obviously, any felonies would be disclosable. Now, how do you reconcile the requirements so let me give an example. It's expunged from a record, a misdemeanor, after 3 years, right? We don't know about it. We do our background check. It doesn't come up.
Yeah.
Now, we file that individual's U-4 with FINRA, our regulatory agency, right? Are you telling me now that if they find out that that record was there and we're wrong on that U-4, that obviously the broker would be liable for not being honest on that U-4, but would the firm also now be liable for not being in compliance with the regulations to disclose that particular misdemeanor on the U-4, even if they didn't have the ability to find out about it and the person wasn't honest about it? But where do you cross this line now? We're not the only industry, by the way. There's all kinds of industries that have regulations for past things like that. How about being a police officer? I don't know.
How about this?
I'm sure they look at your background and criminal history,
I run a daycare center. 8 years from now, I hire a child molester. Sure. But we don't put child molesters in jail, so it's not like they'd still be in jail, right?
So we hire
a child molester.
We have no idea.
We think Joe is the greatest person ever. He comes in clean cut, looks nice, and then we find out that,
we
don't find out that they sealed his records and he was a child molester 8 years ago, and now we put him in a daycare center. And I'm bringing my kid there, thinking that they've done all their due diligence, which they have. The daycare center has, but now these records are cleared. These people are absolutely disgusting.
Well, that's my problem. That's my point. Who becomes liable then, right? Who is the
business owner.
Does the daycare business get sued?
Of course.
Because, I mean, they did everything they could to do what they could, potentially.
Yeah, but then they're rich business owners, so who cares, right?
Sure, why not?
Right.
Why not wipe out more businesses? Like, who cares?
These
we got plenty of those.
Just disgusting. Disgusting.
The stuff coming out of New York now is so close to parody that you really have to read twice, right? You look at what New York City, let's just jump gears to Mayor Adams for a second here. This guy is the Wizard of Smart. Yeah. Now they found God now. They're begging churches to house immigrants.
I know.
His latest plan, Mike, I had to look this up to see if this was true.
Yeah.
The latest plan is he wants to actually talk to individuals about housing people in their houses.
Here's the individuals, Eric. Here's who you talk to. The Democrats.
Holy smokes.
They're the ones that wanted this. Why don't you talk to the Obamas? They got a nice piece of property. Or the Clintons. Why don't we talk to them first?
Apparently,
plenty of rooms. Joe Biden's got a house that's worth $50,000 a month from his crack
addict
son.
Huge.
So
must be huge.
Yeah, it must be huge. Why don't we fill them first? Did you see, by the way, and we need to do this, the protest to allow these illegal immigrants in, and somebody hit the streets and is like, why are you here? Well, these people deserve Should everybody chip in and help them is the question, right? And they say, yeah, everybody. We all need to get together. He says, great.
All right, $5.
He says, great. He goes, will you sign up to take illegal immigrants in your house today? And he has three. I don't know if they are or not, but they're certainly playing the part, right? Hey, we have them here. Can you take them in today? Oh, no, I can't take them in. Every single one of them, the same thing.
Right.
Oh, I can't take them in. And there's been a few that have asked for money. Okay, great. The minimum contribution is $100, but if you could do $1,000 or $2,000, oh, no, I can't do that. Not me, right? Every single one of these liberals, not me. No, I'm not taking
them in. Even the wealthy ones, Mike. Look at what they did on Martha's Vineyard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They sent, what was it, like 150? How many did DeSantis send? It wasn't that many.
No, it wasn't that many.
It was like 100 illegal immigrants to Martha's Vineyard.
Got them right out.
They land, they get off the plane, they're hugging each other, they're holding signs that we did such a good job, we fed them, and we gave them a place to stay overnight. One night.
Now get
one
out.
Night. And then they put them on a bus, and they shipped them, or on a ferry, they shipped them off the island to some other place. And they were praising themselves. Oh, my God, we came together and did such great things. You didn't do anything.
No.
You kicked them out of your community after 24 hours.
That's right.
Just because you did it while hugging each other and holding signs and saying, oh, goodbye, Miguel.
Yeah,
we love you. See you later. Good luck.
We're fighting
Good luck
for
in
you.
Boston.
We're fighting for you.
We'll be thinking about you while we're back in our huge multi-million-dollar waterfront Martha's Vineyard property with eight bedrooms.
There's no possible way I could get you in. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, no, they're
a
joke.
It's unreal.
Speaking, by the way, of New York City, Glenn, and let me grab this here. They have a solution, by the way, for helping out and now going in a better direction when it comes to fixing New York City and it's specifically its drug problems. New York City vending machines are now going to cater to drug users with free crack pipes.
I saw that.
Lip balm.
Lip balm.
What does lip
Why
balm
lip
do?
Balm?
I don't know.
What is that? I don't know.
It must be a drug thing.
What do you do with that?
And Narcan for the ODs. So
I love the lip balm they just do in there. Like lipstick.
Yeah.
No
fear.
Eyeshadow.
No fear.
Narcan. Like what?
No fear in New York City now. If you're ODing, you just find your up-and-coming vending machine. So make sure you can crawl to the next vending machine. Maybe
the lip balm's for the hookers. Maybe that's how they get their crack. Maybe that's, I don't know. I'm just saying.
To smoke the crack pipe, you need nice, healthy lips.
I would think. Yeah. It probably chafes you after a while if you're smoking the crack pipe
crack
too much.
Pipes.
You would think
that's genius, by the way. I can't think of a better way to stop the crack problem than to give them the actual pipes. I can't think of a better strategy.
I hope they have solar-powered ones that they put into the subway. Remember that? They did that with the trash cans. They put solar-powered with a lid automatically open. They put them into the subway tunnel so that nobody could actually get them open and use them.
That doesn't
sum up bureaucracies perfectly. I don't know what does.
Yeah. Let me tell you, this will be an equal success. Like everything else in New York City, they'll turn to shit. They'll be beaten up.
They'll be destroyed.
They'll be destroyed. Oh, yeah. The crack pipes will be gone. And the drug problem will get worse. I can't imagine. There's a group of people, by the way, that think this is a good idea. They're really sitting in a room somewhere going, you know what?
Yeah.
I think the way to stop the massive drug problem in this city is to give them crack pipes. I think that's the answer.
Predominantly white liberals.
Yes.
Predominantly white liberals. Every 3 hours, this is what the quote says here. This is a quote from Health and Mental Hygiene Commissioner Ashwin Vasan. Every 3 hours, we're losing a New Yorker to drugs, and it looks like 2022 is on track to be our highest year ever in overdoses. That is really sad.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a rising tide of fentanyl, and now we have other substances entering our drug supply, which is really putting us behind the eight ball. I wonder where these things are coming from.
I don't know. I wonder why they must be shipping them in from Norway.
I believe those
probably
maybe they
Florida.
Did do a better job at the ports.
Probably.
You think the ports maybe in New York they could maybe beef that up?
I don't know. I think it's DeSantis's problem. Probably the red state governors, I'm sure, coming from Mar-a-Lago.
You know what? I bet you white supremacists are a big. I mean, we know from what we're told that is the biggest threat to America right now, and so it's natural that the white supremacists would be the ones that are moving these drugs into New York City.
On purpose, from
red states predominantly.
On purpose.
Yeah, I have no question about that.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. There's really no doubt about that. I just can't. There's people that actually think this is a good idea. The city by the south. Well, of course, we all know the city's going to get worse. The drug problem is, you know, when I look at one thing, the Biden administration, if there's one thing that I could say, okay, out of all the things, because a lot of the policies that Joe has tried to introduce have not gone anywhere, right? So, you know, higher taxes, more regulations, you know, a lot of that stuff has been fought and people like Joe Manchin have stopped. But when you look at that open border and the massive drug problem and what it's done to these cities, you know, we played a show maybe 6-7 months ago. I think you had it. It was a video of Philadelphia and it was like zombie world. Remember that? Like,
it's unreal. Like, that's Trank. That's the new drug coming to New York City. That's going to be in New York City within weeks.
Well,
it'll be, and
here's why. Because first of all, you cannot be a police officer. There'll be no police officers left in the next 10 to 20 years. Every single time
how many are we prosecuting
now? We just did another one.
We
just did another one in Buffalo here. The police officer shot somebody. This guy, and I love how the media just such scumbags, the left wing nut jobs, like, yep, another bad police officer. You know, the funny thing is, he was in a car chase at 100 miles an hour with this criminal who's got a track record. So this wasn't, hey, I just stopped Joey on the street and put a bullet in his head. It was the same old crap. This is a dirtbag scumbag putting other people's life in jeopardy, right? He could smash into my car with my family. He could smash into your car with your wife's car with their kids, right?
That happened in Chicago.
Yeah.
That just happened, sadly. And they got a misdemeanor.
Yeah.
They carjacked a family.
Yeah.
They killed a 6-month-old was killed.
Ugh.
And Chicago a prosecutor decides to slap them with a misdemeanor.
Right.
It's just.
But if you're a police officer,
in these liberal cities, it's crazy.
Disgusting. And if you're a police officer, of course you're going to be guarded. You know why? Because these people are shooting at police officers, and they're heroes. They're heroes in these communities.
Right.
Like, oh, look at little Billy. He was just about ready to collect Social Security disability, and he's only on his 40th felony. He should never have been shot. Yeah. You know what? If you put yourself in that position, a police officer eventually is going to try to protect themselves. Maybe they make the wrong move instinctively. These are not good people. It's just such disgusting. And the sad part about it is we're going to continue to have more and more moms and dads and grandpas and grandmas that were police officers that tell their kids, please do not go into this field. Don't put yourself in jeopardy, right? And all that tells these criminals is we are winning. Don't worry about it. You want to sell your crack cocaine? Hey, good. Guess what? Even if you do get busted, worst case scenario, in 8 years, it'll be clean off your record in New York State. You won't know it. It'll be like a bankruptcy. It'll be all fresh. Why don't you do this, Joe? Sell $800 million worth of heroin, and we bust you. And in 8 years, your record is 100% clean, and all your money is sitting somewhere in a foreign bank account or something like that. Don't worry, right? What? Hey, would you take 8 years for $800 million? Maybe. Right? That's worst case scenario.
That sounds like the Criminelli deal that they took for the warehouse downtown for the
that's worst case scenario. Whatever. Now you get a nice Tesla. Liberal judge, and he says, "Oh, little Joey was just selling heroin to try to better his life. Let him back out on the streets.
Yeah, in fact, time served. Don't even keep him
here with any bail. He doesn't. He'll be back.
Mike, I found out in this article what the lip balm is for. It goes through the whole. The machine looks like a typical snack vending contraption, but it's stacked with what health officials say are potential life-saving tools instead. So listen to the potential life-saving tools. The available goods include the overdose-busting drug naloxone, or commonly known the brand Narcan, test strips that detect fentanyl, and safe smoking kits, complete with heavy stem pipe, mouthpiece, and lip balm that can be used to smoke crack and crystal meth. Mm. So I guess that's what you use a lip balm for.
There you go.
There are also safer sniffing kits and random assorted items such as condoms, tampons, nicotine gum, and first aid packages. Mm. Well, there you go.
That's exactly, by the way, what somebody strung out in heroin is doing. They're worried about their sexual activity. Let's see.
Right.
I better put a condom on because I certainly don't want to get this 12th girl pregnant.
Yeah. Right.
I've already got 11 kids from 11 different.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Well, Poland Cars, remember you? I don't think you were on the show as Mike Sparazza and I, but he came out and he had this whole press conference about if you're going to do drugs with friends.
I heard this.
And then make sure you're vetting your drugs. You really got to go through it. So let me get this straight. So I'm at a party. Yeah. I've got a few beers in me. I've got a track record of doing drugs. Do you think I'm clearly thinking this thing through? Like, you know what? I better really do some research to figure out where this heroin came from. I mean, these people are so brain dead, it's not even funny. Brain dead.
That's so sad. They recently, I think it was Seattle, they found a whole group of friends all dead.
No.
You know, the sixth friend came over and found all five of his friends had started without him. Fortunately for him, they had all snorted a line of cocaine, which turned out to be pure fentanyl.
Ugh.
So not only was it not, you know, cocaine now is in some cases not wasn't just being cut with fentanyl, it was complete fentanyl. Yeah. It was 100% fentanyl. I mean, that is 100% death sentence right there.
Yeah.
I mean, how the guy that was whatever put it in whatever bag or girl or whatever, I would guess a guy. I don't know how they didn't. They might have just died when they opened the bag. For all I know, But the long story short, they found five young adults. I think the late teens, early 20s, all dead. Mm. You know, thought they were going to get together for a fun weekend. Yeah. You know, get a bag of cocaine. You know, get a 12-pack of beer, or whatever. Whatever.
Apparently, they didn't do the Poland Cars Vet the Drugs program. That's
I guess
the thing.
Not. Yeah, I guess they didn't have. Well, see, if they were in New York, they would have. They would have went down to the vending machine.
Yeah.
And they would have gotten the test. They would have had the sniffer, which would have automatically detected.
Erie County actually has kits. Like Poland Cars, like these people are at a party. Like, oh man, I was going to do the.
Who's
cocaine.
Got the kit? Who brought the kit?
Hey, is there a
Who's
way?
Who's got the kit?
We're all hanging out here, and we were thinking about doing some cocaine. Is there any way you could run down to Rite Aid and get that test kit?
Damn
for
it,
us?
Mike! You were supposed to bring the kit. Damn it! Come on,
oh
man.
Oh, my gosh. These people
I guess
just...
we'll try it without the kit. Who's running for the kit? Who's going to test the cocaine?
Well, if we don't have the kit,
well, we could do that, or someone's got to take the chance. Who goes first?
Can someone run down to the vending machine quick and get some Narcan just in case?
Ridiculous. This is ridiculous.
I forgot my pipe. Don't worry about it.
We got those two.
There's a down on 76 and 18th Street. Make sure you grab your get the pipe and the Narcan. Okay, we're good.
Is this vending machine free? Is it just free, or do you have to put a credit card?
It will be when they smash.
Where do you put your EBT card? Is that how it works? What do you do?
Let me see. Yeah, because crack addicts are going to do that, right? They're not going to just smash it and take all the stuff. It's
maybe
unreal.
They can just feed in dollar bills.
Nah,
whatever,
you can't fix stupid.
Wait, I found the instructions. Wouldn't you know? Mm. Public health vending machine instructions, how to access your supplies. Enter the New York City zip code where you live or you stay at most often, and then press the pound key.
Yeah.
Number two, enter the number listed under the item desired. That makes sense. Take your item from the slot at the bottom of the machine. Repeat from step one for each item desired. No mention of any sort of payment whatsoever.
No.
So I guess these are just flat out free.
Well, they know that if they pay, if you've got to pay, it's
so
getting
smashed.
So
how long do you think somebody just says it goes, doink, one, two,
three?
They're going to clean the things out.
Sure.
They'll clean the things out, and then they'll hand them out, sell them, whatever.
We'll be selling them, yeah.
Crack pipe for a dollar.
Yeah. And for those of you, by the way, that think, well, you know, Albany's not going to do this with felonies. They're not going to clean slate. Albany Democrats exempt murder, serious felonies from amended clean slate.
You know what? I tell you what. Is there a way that we can – maybe we can sponsor this, Mike – and we can get the logo of the mayor put right on these crack pipes. I mean, they're so proud of it.
Yeah,
I'll be happy to see if we can. Maybe I'll fund that.
You get the picture.
If the mayor's willing to put his, you know, the
picture there.
You know how they put, yeah, whatever. You know how they put on the highway, like, you know, as soon as you get Kathy Hochul project.
Let's
put right on there. Yeah. Put right on the crack pipe. Put, you know, Mayor Adams on one side, brought to you by Kathy Hochul and Mayor Adams.
Right
there.
If
they're so proud of it, you know, Democrats everywhere. How about that?
I love it.
What a joke.
Yeah, no. They're
this will be as successful as the underground solar garbage cans. It'll be just genius. Unreal.
Yep. Well, they broke ground in the Bills stadium this week. That should be a huge success. Somebody said, you know this is going to be a miserable failure when Poland cars and the commissioner of the NFL are together with a shovel. That's just, it's not going to end up well. That's exactly right.
No,
that is exactly
guarantee this. As I think you said, not on time and over budget.
Oh.
Guaranteed.
Yeah, they're like saying 26. Why wouldn't it be? No way. Mark my words.
26.
Mark the show. By the way, they're saying the opening of the NFL football season in 26, the Bills will be paying the new stadium. Mark my words that will not happen, and it will not even come close to budget by the time they're ready to do this. There is no way.
No.
In pigs will fly before that is actually done on time, and by the way they don't, and I've talked to people that are part of this project. They've said secretly we do not have the labor to be able to finish this. Like there's no way. I mean,
well, maybe that's part of the immigrants come from.
You can't.
Maybe
even,
that's what the whole idea of bringing in the mass immigrants in New York is. They're just going to build work on the stadium.
That should be safe. You're building what? You know, how many stories?
At least they
is
work.
That? How many stories is that?
Like, I mean, at least they're willing to work.
Do you have experience building a five story stadium that you're going to sit? You're going to sit on the 300 level on top.
But I
of?
Did climb a 2-story wall and I survived.
Yeah,
right. I don't know. Look, I will say this though. At least they would
Why
work.
Why did it
I
fall
mean, I don't,
over? I don't know because the people weren't qualified to work on it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh yeah, they do work.
They do work.
Some have worked. A lot of these people, by the way, are not. They're already trained. There was an interview with somebody who was running a hotel down in New York City, and he said the governor and the mayor forced us to take these people in. They won't leave. They know that we can't kick them out. He said, well, look, did I keep the rooms clean? He said, all the rooms are a total mess. He goes, there's bottles of alcohol and beer cans everywhere. And somebody said, well, does it look like they're working? He goes, well, if you can go to work intoxicated every day after drinking a bottle of vodka, yes. But the answer is no. They're just hanging out, waiting for the free handouts and probably their Democrat registration voter card. They'll be programmed in to say, hey, look, there's no need to bust your butt here in New York State. It will go bankrupt, though, folks. It will. There will be a time where we will be talking about New York State defaulting on their bonds and you know how that's going to all play out, and you'll have people like Warren Buffett who will come in and say, don't worry, I'll give you money, but it's going to be at 10% or 12%, a lot like they did with GM. I'll be your savior, but here's what's going to happen. You're going to have to cut the size of government radically. So I'm looking forward to it. We'll see.
That's the only chance, honestly. It really is. I mean, it's the only shot that that New York has is to have somebody, some group of adults that are willing to step in, that don't have to worry about getting reelected, that can actually do the adult thing and take the budget of New York State and cut it in half, because that's what it needs to be. The Florida state budget is half of New York with 15% more people.
Yep.
And I can tell you the roads are better.
Yep.
The schools
are
better.
Better.
The safety's better.
Yep.
You know, because here's the thing. You know, yes, places like Ohio, places like Florida have had school shootings. The difference is the response to it. New York puts up more signs and takes away more guns from law-abiding citizens.
Yep.
Places like Ohio and Florida train teachers to be able to carry concealed so that they could tell the criminals, okay, you want to come in and shoot up our school? All right. Well, number one, we have a perimeter fence. Number two, we have armed security. Number three, if you get past all that, you have no idea which teachers in our school are you're going to confront that are going to be armed.
Yeah.
You know? It's just – but we don't do that in places like New York or Illinois. We double down on the same failed policies
the same
over and over and over again.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, we have a crime problem in New York. Release more criminals.
Yeah.
Propose a clean slate bill.
Seal their records.
Seal their records. I mean, it's lunacy, the stuff that they do.
It is beyond asinine at this point. Beyond asinine. It is like literally, if you watched a movie like this 30 years ago, you'd be like, that's ridiculous. There's no way. There's no way America could be that stupid. But yep, they are. And we continue to vote them in. By the way, Vivek Ramaswamy vows to release Epstein client list. Yep. Shut down and replace IRS and FBI. That was one of your requests.
That's my thing. He gets my vote right now.
Yeah. So God bless him. So and he would be a great. I'll tell you what. I think the Republicans have some really good candidates, and I'm proud to say that. Usually we do not. Usually
Chris Christie is not one of them. Though. He announced this week. Was that yesterday?
Yeah.
Is he there to play the foil? Is he just there to take out Trump? I mean, what is he there for?
Is
he
there to get more? Here's what he. This is what my only guess would be. Is that
the talk show circuit?
Yeah. So he can write a book. I mean, I look at if he came to town, there are a lot of people that would hire him to listen to him speak for an hour. So it keeps him relevant. That's the only thing I could think, because you don't have a shot. You're not even close to having a shot. I think your approval ratings is less than 1% at this point, right? Yeah. So I mean, give me a break. Yeah. But I will say
Vivek Ramaswamy or Vivek or however he pronounces his name.
Yeah, I think it's
Vivek.
Vivek,
he has the best, most concise, most articulated platform of any Republican candidate thus far, even though we got a great bench, DeSantis, Trump, great bench. But Ramaswamy has been the only candidate who has come out, and I've said this a number of times now, I'm looking for the platform. Right now, he's got the platform. I will support him as of right now, because he's the one. Look, we have a huge problem here. If we don't do something about the FBI, we're in real trouble.
Yep.
The FBI literally went to Tom Fitton's house. Tom Fitton runs, what's Tom Fitton run? He runs the largest government accountability nonprofit organization in the country.
Oh yeah,
Judicial Watch.
There you go.
They showed up at his house. The FBI did. They subpoenaed him.
Yeah.
Right. They tried to drag him in front of it. They did. They dragged him in front of a grand jury. And ultimately, there was no charges to anyhow. This is what they're doing to intimidate people.
We've got them intimidating people.
Meanwhile, they're destroying evidence.
We've got them
destroying evidence.
Destroying evidence and planting evidence. They've already been busted with that, right?
That's right.
They've been busted at the January 6th deal. They've been busted online encouraging people to blaze up things. And when they do it. And then they say, oh my gosh, I can't believe that person actually killed people. You knew they were going to kill people. You told them. Blaze it up. By the way, the Buffalo shooter. They were online talking to this guy.
That's what I was going to say.
Unreal.
How fast did that story disappear?
Yeah.
So we found out in the early stages of the Buffalo shooting tragedy that there was what they said was a former federal agent that happened to be in a chat room talking to this guy. Yet that former federal agent, by the way, never said anything to anybody, never raised a red flag, as far as I understand, never talked to the local law enforcement, never called put a red flag in the system or anything. Nothing. What was the nature of that conversation?
That's right.
So they didn't walk it back. They admitted that there was a former federal agent. How former was he? Like Ray Epps former? Or like really, really former? Or like still there working like McCabe former? You know, what are we talking about here, former?
What was
the nature of that conversation? Why was he in that chat room? Was he there working on behalf of something else? Why in the world, as a former federal agent, would you be in a chat room like that? And if you were, why would you not be in there? I would assume you'd be in there working kind of consulting, let's say, still in retirement to provide maybe some tips and information to actual law enforcement. What were you doing in there? What was the nature of that conference? Did you interact with this kid? They mentioned it and then it was gone.
Yeah.
Never, not Channel 2, not 4, not 7, not the Buffalo News. Nobody in Western New York, nobody brought that up again. Not a single news outlet on a national basis said, we heard it early on. Nobody asked a question of the White House, the FBI, nobody. It just disappeared, gone. Hmm. Oh, did we say that? No, we didn't mean that. We didn't mean that. There was nobody to talk. No.
Vivek's coming out and doing some good stuff. And Tim Scott was on The View this week. He did, and we've been talking about that forever. Like, if you really want to go after these people, if you want to win, then you sit down with them and do exactly what Tim Scott did, which is not get all flustered, but it's funny. They don't want to hear any of the facts. Like, he's pounding them with all this information about, here's the statistics. Here's
the facts.
La, 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 It is a better world for black people today than it was 50 years ago. A lot better. And you know why?
100%.
Because America. Because the freedoms of America. That's why. Is America perfect? No. But I'll tell you what. We now have black president. We have black mayors. By the way, all the towns that are fighting, and they say that's the most racist towns in America, they're all run by black mayors. They've got black school boards. They've got black head of the police department there. They've got town boards. I mean, you have everything. Like, what are you fighting about? And this is sort of cool, actually. Like, that's what Tim Scott was saying. He's like, look at it's not just me. Look at every news station you turn on. Half the anchors are black. Half the anchors are white. By the way, I think there's like 13% of the population is black. But yet, when you turn on ESPN or CNN, or they're half the anchors, right?
Right.
What are you complaining about? Tim Scott's like, look at this is getting better, and this is great, and you know what's making it better, and what would make race relations a heck of a lot better is a Tim Scott, somebody that steps up and says,
absolutely,
stop bitching about
enough
the color of your
enough.
Skin. Go get an education, whether you're going to get a law degree or you're going to be a doctor or a plumber or an electrician or you're going to get certified to sell home and auto insurance. Do something with your life and stop bitching.
Right, but are there some real challenges when it comes to education, quality of education, access to education? 100%.
You know whose fault
that
is?
And that's got to be addressed.
That's the
Democrats'
fault. That's right. 100%.
They're the ones that have fought school voucher programs. They're the ones that are in bed with the unions. They're the ones that don't want these kids that are trapped in failing school districts to have a chance. They're the ones that under the Obama administration, they sued, right? Eric Holder, the black attorney general, sued the state of Louisiana. Yeah. Republican Governor Bobby Jindal put in a voucher program. They sued the state to stop the voucher program, claiming that it was racist, that only, this is how racist these Democrats are, only white people are smart enough to use the vouchers. And that was the basis of their argument for the lawsuit.
That's always their argument.
That's their argument
for everything. White people are the only ones smart enough to get a voter ID. White people are the only ones smart enough to get an education.
Yep. You know, and they're going to take these vouchers and they're going to move these kids and they're going to leave these poor black kids behind. And then Bobby Jindal stepped up and said, oh, okay, you want to go to court? Fine. Here's my actual facts. Turns out 99% of the vouchers were being used by minority parents that were desperate to get their kids out of failing schools and into better schools where they had an opportunity to get an education. Because if you can do that, if you can get your kid into a school to get them an education, they got a shot to become a Tim Scott in this country. That's what Tim is saying.
Yep.
But if you're in Baltimore and you are lock, stock, and barrel Democrat, if you're in Buffalo and you're lock, stock, barrel Democrat, what chance does a Buffalo kid have when he gets out of high school with a third grade education?
One in five, one in six, maybe have the chance to make it out of that, right?
Just terrible.
Yeah, it's sad.
The money should follow the child. You want to spend $25,000 a child in the city of Buffalo? Fine. Then it follows the child. Wow. So that parent then should be able to take that child, and if the grades are there, enroll them in the St. Joe's. Yeah.
And hold these kids, the schools
at
accountable.
That standard.
You are
100%.
A failing school system, and we're not going to put up with that anymore, right? Part of it is the parents. The culture of that city, you know, these people don't know who their dad is. Their dad's collecting welfare in the state of New York, but he's been a sperm donor 18 times. It's just sad, really sad. But they don't want to fix it. They don't want to fix it. If they wanted to fix it, there would be a huge outcry. I mean, these schools would be surrounded at board meeting time, right? You can go to a Buffalo school board meeting, and there's hardly anybody there. A few people started to show up when Carl Palladino was elected because, of course, he was going to be a racist. And, you know, God forbid he would actually change stuff. We don't want that. So that's they were deathly afraid of that. So deathly afraid of the change, right? God forbid we talk about a school district with a 25% graduation rate and trying to get that to 40 or 50%. Oh, no. Carl's a racist. We can't do that.
This portion of the program brought to you by our home and auto department. Give us 14 minutes. We'll shop over 25 companies to save you money. So easy, even a liberal can do it. And I've got to modify that to say most liberals can do it because there are absolutely some brain dead folks out there. Like AOC. Brain dead.
Yeah. If you think it's 100%. A good idea to have crack pipes and
vending machines
in New York City, you're probably not smart enough to be able to just even call us and pick up the phone
probably
and say, let us shop your insurance for you.
No.
The kind of extremes some of your party has moved to, because it doesn't reflect conservatism to me.
Oh. This is my favorite. The extremes your party has gone to. Okay. Well, here's the extremes the conservatives want. They want to be able to protect themselves. So they want to be able to bear arms, right? And do it safely.
Yeah, protect their family.
Safely. Yeah. You know, most people say we're not just going to give an AR-15 to a two-year-old. We get it. We need to do that safely. Want to protect those. They want to keep most of their money. Not all their money. Most of these people would say, look, I'm willing to pay some taxes. But, losing 50 to 60% of my money before I pay one of my bills is a lot. So that is radical thinking to these people. Most of these conservatives want school choice, like you're talking about. Allowing, by the way, most of the kids that would benefit from this are the inner city kids that need it the most. They want school choice. These are radical things, but not the left. Wide open borders, defunding the police, drug vending machines.
Yeah, fiery but peaceful.
Hiding people's criminal past. That's not radical at all. I mean, these people are mentally at a whole new level. The problem is they're winning. That's the problem. Yeah. I mean, that's where it's really scary.
Like, because they've got the schools.
Lancaster schools here locally. Lancaster schools here locally. Somebody was reading about some of the passages in some of the books that are available. Excuse me. Our town is under a fire attack here from Quebec, so like the breathing is not the easiest, which I'm usually not a whiner, but it's you can actually feel it. So where was I? I'm losing my train of thought here.
The school to Lancaster.
Oh, Lancaster. So they're reading some of the books. Of course, it's all about porn. You know, here's what Billy should do to Jane or whatever. And you're reading this, you're thinking, oh, my God, like, this should never be in a school district. Right. You're a Democrat, Republican. And you know what? There's a huge bunch of Democrats that somehow get wrapped up in, I'm a dummy Dem. So apparently, if the Dems think this is a good idea, then we're just going to go with it. Right. Because I can't imagine it, sitting in that room as a parent going, yeah, you know, I'm going to fight to keep these books in there. Right. Like, I just can't. I know. That's not the appropriate place for it. We all know that. Anybody with a brain, just a little bit of common sense, you know. But they're still there. They're still there. Even the fact that we're fighting about this, like
they're still there. And these are tools for groomers, clearly. And we know this. We know this. But this is the Democrats are the party of groomers. I'm going to say it openly, and I believe that they don't care. If they cared, they'd close the border. The largest sex and human trafficking operation going on in the world right now is going right over our Mexican border. Yep. It's atrocious, and I'm guarantee you that the Democrats like Hillary Clinton and folks like that have their fingerprints all over it. Right?
It's so obvious with the Epstein list not being released. Somehow we know that the Democrat Party and a big chunk of the Republican Party is somehow getting paid from this sex trafficking.
They just put a website up of Hunter Biden. There's pictures with him with children.
Right? How was this?
Disgusting.
How is he not arrested?
I didn't want to open up the website for fear that the feds would show up and say, oh, look at that. You looked at a shit. Yeah. I'm not even going to touch it. I'm not even kidding you.
We would open it and be like, oh, Mike, look at a child
I'm
porn.
Surprised they don't go after and prosecute the guy who put the website up sure they probably will, for putting up like child porn or something like that. Well, they were under 18, but Hunter's in the picture.
Yeah.
Are you going to prosecute him?
Miraculously.
This is why when Vivek Ramaswamy says the FBI, I will shut it down.
Yep.
He's got my vote.
Yeah.
I don't care if he's polling at 1%. He's like, well, you don't vote for the guy who doesn't have it. I'm not saying that. Every single person has a chance that's on. Trump didn't have a chance either when he came down to that. People are like, oh, my God, Trump. Yeah. Guess what? He won.
Well, I got to be honest with you. The more he opens his mouth, the farther I get away from Trump. He was criticizing DeSantis this week and praising Cuomo for his response on COVID.
You sound like a goddamn idiot. Criticizing Kayleigh McEnany. The problem that I have with Trump is that he refuses to admit where he was wrong.
Yeah.
And that's where I actually like DeSantis better. DeSantis came out and said, you know what? I, too, shut down the state. I also shut down the beaches. I made a huge mistake.
Yeah.
And I admitted that mistake. And I course corrected. And I went in a different direction. And I apologized for it. Trump is still, you know, he's still 100% vaccine because it was under him. He still thinks the lockdowns were the right idea. And God forbid, they're planning it again, folks.
Yeah.
It's just not a one-time deal. This was the trial run to see how far they can take it to say that they can. At one point, they decide you can't leave your home. We'll tell you where and when you can go. They did that in Australia. For those that think I'm crazy, well, my wife for one, right? They did that in Australia.
Oh, yeah.
They literally said,
Glenn,
you can only go to these places. How about in New York?
How many times?
We were locked in New York. You weren't supposed to leave your house unless you're going to the grocery store. You weren't allowed to get together with friends. In New York, they were pounding on doors because they thought there were too many cars out front, and they were cute. They were going to Hasidic Jewish people's houses.
Yeah. How many
because
times
they had more than
say,
six people there to celebrate a holiday, a Jewish holiday. This is insane.
Through the 2 years of that stretch of the left-wing communist Democrat takeover in states like New York, I remember saying time and time again, thank God for Florida. And people say, well, wait, you're in New York. I'd say, well, yeah, but if it wasn't for states like Florida, New York would have tripled, quadrupled the garbage they were doing, right?
100%.
But what was happening was there was guys like you and I in the state of New York still fighting. Lawsuits, get the masks off these kids. We were saying, look at the state of Florida, look at Georgia, right? Remember when Georgia opened, we were told in 2 weeks that whole
just
state would be
weeks.
Devastated and everybody would be dead. And then 2 weeks later, their COVID numbers were actually way, way better, right? Thank God for some of these states, and we had something to look at, including leaving, by the way. We have two offices down in the state of Florida. I left New York. They said, okay, your kids got to Zoom in to school every day. So okay, let's go. We're leaving. Bye. We were very blessed to be able to do that. Let's go. We left. I missed the winter. You know, part of me selfishly was like, okay, well, maybe we just Zoom in for another month until it warms up back there. But seriously, like, thank God for that type of leadership, right? But when it comes to Trump, I'm a little bit disgusted with the, you know, you need to go back to what you've been saying, which is policy. I'm going to be focused on getting rid of and changing the FBI, dismantling the IRS because they targeted conservatives. There's new 85,000 IRS agents. If I thought they were actually going to go out and actually go after crime and people that are working under the table, there might be some truth to that. They're not going to do that. They're going to target good business owners, and they're going to say, wrote this Tim Hortons off. I know you made $500,000 last year, but that 50 cents, you probably should go to jail for that. You know, that's what they're going to do.
They're doing that now. I mean, they're doing that now to people.
So
they're doing that to Trump.
But Trump needs to focus on that garbage. Instead of attacking the best governor in the country who did a much better job of managing Florida than he did of the country.
Maybe that's part of it.
I don't like it.
I don't like it either.
To me, it's not working. Like, I was a big Trump supporter. God bless you. I love the fact that he's fighting. I love his message of being able to go out in front of people. That's why I was so proud of Tim Scott this week. I'm like, you're on The View, man. How many times do we say that's what you need to do if you're going to fight this and win? You need to get on The View. Nobody's doing it. Tim's doing it.
Tim's doing it. He did a great job.
Vivek Ramaswamy's doing it. That'd be a great ticket. Pick one of them. Vice president, president.
Yep.
I don't care. Go. Let's go.
Yep. But for him, I don't understand. Like, you can very easily say, you know what, with all due respect to DeSantis, with all due respect to the other candidates in the race, I think that I deserve another chance. I think here's my list of accomplishments. Here's what I was able to do in the face of these headwinds. I think they'll have their shot. They're all fine candidates. I don't think you need to disparage people to set yourself apart from them. I don't think you need to tear people down to lift yourself up. I think you can simply set yourself apart. I think Vivek Ramaswamy's doing that. He's doing that by, again, clearly articulating a policy and a platform he's going to run on. I'm going to restructure and eliminate the IRS and the FBI. I don't want to hear restructure. I want to hear the FBI is going to be terminated, defunded, broken into a million pieces. We're going to take all of their furniture. We're going to throw it in a giant fire pit. I want nothing left of the FBI. I want the pictures off the wall.
Yeah.
I want the portraits of the past put in the hall of infamy so we don't forget what they did to the American people, whether it's selling high-powered weapons to Mexican drug cartels, harassing PTO moms, or going after pro-life people. It's wrong what they've done. They're the disgusting agency. They're the worst in the country. I want to hear they are going to be completely eliminated, and we'll come up with something new. You know, put money into something different. I don't. Whatever you need. You know, you need a federal law enforcement arm. Fine, but have some level of actual congressional oversight. The Congress has been empowered with oversight of all of these different agencies of government, right? And yet somehow people like Chuck Schumer, who at the time was a Senate Majority Leader, one of the most powerful people in the country, literally warning on TV, telling Trump, you don't mess with the intelligence community in this country because they got 6 ways till Sunday to get back at you. So you mean to tell me – and they're doing it. So you mean to tell me that even one of our most powerful senators, the Senate Majority Leader from New York, is afraid of our intelligence community? We're screwed, folks, if that's the case. Unless we get somebody who's willing to step up and say, you know what? No, you're gone. You know, a Congress, a Republican Congress with a backbone that's willing to step up and say, CIA?
Well, that's gone.
We don't think so.
That's gone.
McCarthy,
we don't have that.
How useless is he?
Oh, my God.
I mean, just so pathetic.
Oh, my God.
I got a clip here. I haven't had a chance to listen to it.
We're going to fight real hard to make sure we don't increase the debt. Oh, do you need $4 trillion? Okay.
No problem. Here we go. Yeah.
We're not going to have 87,000 IRS agents. We'll give you 85. Okay.
Right. Right.
Like, holy cow.
And then they spike the ball like it's a win. We got a deal done. We did it. Yeah. You suck. You guys suck. Maria Bartiromo did a great interview. Just crushed Kevin McCarthy. I mean, just annihilated him. I don't know if I can pull it up quick here.
Yeah,
I can't see
while you're finding that, we'll play a little bit of Tim Scott. We've got a few minutes left here.
As a guy on the campaign trail in Iowa and New Hampshire and South Carolina, the early voting states, what I found to be really refreshing is that the optimistic, positive message has not been shared in so long. We've been embroiled in battles for so long that when people hear the message, as long as it's anchored in conservatism and you have a backbone, people are interested in engaging in the conversation. As opposed to having a message around populism, having a message around principles is something that's attracting more folks. And the last time I went to Iowa, which was just this past weekend, the size of the crowd has doubled. The enthusiasm's higher than it's been. Every time I go back, it gets better and better. So my hope and my theory is that America has been waiting for someone to show up who's more interested in American progress and the big windshield of the car and less interested in that rearview mirror, except for making sure that we have a compass on where we're going.
I love how smooth he is.
Senator, I am actually happy that you're here. We have some things in common. You grew up in a single-family household, single-mother household. I grew up with both of my parents, but raised in the Bronx Projects amidst a lot
Stop
of poverty.
Wait a minute. We have something in common, Mike. You grew up in a single-parent household. I had both my parents. How dumb are these liberals? How dumb are you? I swear.
Yeah, we have something in common. Yeah.
You know, we both have hair.
We don't.
You know, we both have ears, Mike.
That's right. Does she identify as a man now? That's right.
Oh, my God.
Violence. And you are the first black senator elected in the South since the Reconstruction. That would be about 114 years. Yet you say that your life disproves leftist lies. And my question to you is, I'm the exception, right?
Ooh,
you're the exception.
Lucky you.
Maybe even Miss Whoopi Goldberg is the exception.
They're
on one of the most popular show, daytime shows, right? There's three black people and one white person. They're the exception. Well, you're just exceptional, young lady.
But not Whoopi. Not so much Whoopi, though. Do you like that one?
Yeah.
She's not so. Maybe Whoopi.
Maybe, but we're not sure.
Maybe Whoopi.
Whoopi's worth more than all of them. She's worth $100 million. Whoopi's worth $100 million, probably, right? We're all the exception. What a joke.
Maybe. She's definitely the exception. But we are not the rule. And so when
we're being held back.
When it comes to racial inequality, it persists in five core aspects of life in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
economics, education, health care, criminal justice, and housing. Mm-hmm. At nearly every turn.
And it's 100% to do with culture and nothing to do with the color of your skin. 100%.
These achievements were fought, threatened, and erased, most often by white violence.
White violence.
Most often by white violence.
So you are literally like 18,000% more likely as a black guy to get killed by a black guy, right?
Good Lord.
You are 18 times more likely. That's a true statement. You're 18 times more likely as a police officer to get killed by a black man than a black man, officer killing a black man.
I'm seeing videos of violent black gangs beating up white people all over the place.
Yep.
I have not seen one gang beating up a individual black guy. Not one.
Outside of Jesse Smollett.
Not one.
Outside of Jesse Smollett.
Well, it's MAGA country. Don't forget.
That's right.
You have indicated.
Can you imagine, though, going on The View like this and spewing lies like this? Well, clearly, this is all about white supremacy and the violence in the white community.
We're told it's the biggest problem in this country, Mike.
Wow.
But you don't believe in systemic racism. What is your definition of systemic racism?
Let me answer the question that you've answered asked.
Or does it even exist in your mind?
Let me answer the question this way. One of the things I think about, and one of the reasons why I'm on the show, is because of the comments that were made, frankly, on this show, that the only way for a young African-American kid to be successful in this country is to be the exception and not the rule. That is a dangerous, offensive,
very dangerous,
disgusting message
and
to send to our young people today.
I love him. Disgusting message. God bless you.
It is.
Tim
you
Scott.
Can only think about that. Okay, of you classroom full of kids here, I'm going to speak at your graduation like Biden did. Number one, sorry, but unless somehow you win the lottery, unless you're the exception, unless something happens that's unique specifically to you, that's what you tell somebody that's going to Nashville that
that's
wants
right.
to become a country singer.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
Right?
And you know what you say to
that's when you tell your kid going to L.A. that wants to be an actor. Right?
And here's what most good parents would say. Look, I support you in it. God bless
right.
you.
Sure.
Go for it.
Go for it.
Go for
but
it.
But understand,
right.
I mean, what are you telling the whole race
the
of
odds.
People?
Understand the odds. You're telling the whole race of people
so,
you are worthless because you're there. Well, I mean, there's
only
nothing
one out of a thousand of you are going to make it.
Nothing more racist than that.
Very few of you are going to make it, so don't even bother. To try,
the Republicans, the conservatives are the racists. But let me tell you in this speech that because of the color of your skin, you have no chance.
Unbelievable,
unreal.
That the only way to succeed is by being the exception. Mm. I will tell you that if my life is the exception, I can't imagine.
But
it's not actually.
No,
it's been 114 years.
Yeah. So the fact of the matter is, we've had an African American president, African American vice president. We've had two African Americans to be secretaries of the state.
Yeah. More importantly, they run every single town, every
right.
single city,
right.
every single
right.
mayor, pretty much every
right.
single school board, every the town boards, city of Buffalo, Philadelphia, Chicago, you name it, they're run by black people.
City, the police chief is an African American who's now running for mayor. The head of the highway patrol for South Carolina is an African American.
Still exceptions.
She is just hell bent.
All exceptions.
I'm saying, because of the color of your skin, you have no chance. You are absolutely the problem with that, and that's why I go back to culture. When you are constantly surrounded by negativity, even the people that make it. Whoopi Goldberg. I don't even know this lady's name. This idiot. Unless you're
all
the exception.
So we should take that video.
Apparently, you're just smarter than the rest of the black people.
That's right.
So,
we should take that video out there on the street. We should have Mike Sbarraza go out there, and every person he bumps into, go down to the police station and talk to some black police officers. Go down to the town hall and talk to some black employees. Go to a new business. And you could say, listen, I here's the video of, are you an exception? Are you all exceptions?
Rest of your family's not smart enough to be a police officer, just you?
No, you're the exception, I guess. Yeah. Okay.
About 15% unemployment in the African American community for the first time in the history of the country. It's under 5%.
40% homelessness.
And 50% of the folks in our community.
13% of the population.
You had the chance to ask the question. I know that I've watched you on the show that you like people to be deferential and respectful, so I'm going to do the same thing.
What a great way to handle that, by the way.
Yes.
I don't think I would ever have that demeanor.
Act.
I would
no.
be like, shut up.
Shut up.
I'm going to suggest the fact of the matter is that progress in America is palpable. It could be measured in generations. I look back at the fact that my grandfather, born in 1921 in Sally, South Carolina, when he was on a sidewalk, a white person was coming, he had to step off and not make eye contact. That man believed then, with some doubt now, in the goodness of America, because he believed that having faith in God, faith in himself, and faith in what the future could hold for his kids would unleash opportunities in ways that you cannot imagine. Every kid today can look, just change the stations and see how much progress has been made in this country.
I'm getting a man
ABC,
crush on this
NBC,
guy.
CBS, ESPN, CNN, Fox News all have African-American and Hispanic.
But they're all the exceptions.
So what I'm suggesting is that the yesterday's exception is today's rule, and for us to suggest
America has met its promise.
No, of course, the concept of America is that we are going to become a more perfect union. But in fact, the challenges that we face 50 years ago and 60 years ago should not be the same challenges that we face today. And here's a way that you measure that. Yeah. When my mother was born, about 10% of African Americans got a high school degree, diploma. Today, it's over 90%.
Yeah. By the way, more black people enrolled in college than white people at this point. So
we've made so much progress that they completely deny. It's just sad because they want to take us backwards. That's what they want.
Right.
They want to
exactly
go backwards.
Right.
They are the. Let's remember. Let's just remember who the Democrats really are. They are the party of segregation. They are the party that voted against civil rights. They are the party of the KKK. Yep. They were the party that supported slavery. They were the party of the South and the plantations. Mm-hmm. That's the Democrat Party.
Still the party fighting against school choice, right?
Let's not forget that Joe Biden spoke at the funeral of one of the KKK grand wizards that also happened to be a Democrat, and his name is all over roads and highways. You can go down Robert Byrd Parkway in West Virginia and Virginia, and so that's okay as long as you're a Democrat. You got to take down the Robert E. Lee statues, but if you were a Democrat congressperson that was in the KKK, no problem having roads named after you. It's just this is the hypocrisy. The Democrat Party is one giant lie, and they have to spin it to everything that they accuse Republicans of, they themselves are.
Everything
they accuse the Republicans of doing, they themselves are doing, whether it's Russian collusion or racism or whatever. It's just it's a joke. It's just a joke. So anyway, all right, that's going to do it for us, folks. If you need it throughout the week, you can use us as a resource. Call us at the office, 833-FIN-GUYS. Go to our website, thefinancialguys.com. Don't forget we do multiple podcasts throughout the week. We have our morning rundown, the Morning Mike Show, 15 minutes of the news of the day. Don't forget that. You can find all these different things on our website, financialguysmedia.com. And again, don't forget to give us a thumbs up and share this. We really appreciate it. That helps us quite a bit. And we'll see you this weekend on the radio show. Take care, everybody. Thanks.
Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or other use of this show without the express written consent of the Financial Guys LLC is strictly prohibited.